today as we come to the table.
What's left over? Your leftovers are better than my best. Now, that wasn't true. And Gideon wasn't lying. I don't think Gideon, he wasn't here, I'm going to tell these guys a lie. Gideon was humble. Gideon didn't realize that God had raised him up and made him a great warrior and fighter. He was just obeying the Lord. But his estimation of himself was, look, my leftovers are nothing compared to what, I mean, my best is nothing compared to your leftovers. Well, what is he doing? What does the Bible say? A gentle answer turns away wrath. And so he's giving a gentle answer. I encourage you guys, if you find yourself and somebody's mad at you and they're upset, and give a gentle answer. Now, we have to be in a place in our heart where we can do that, or it's not going to work.
How did you respond the last time someone came to you and they were angry about something you did? If you're like most people, you probably responded with an equal or greater amount of anger. Or maybe you used sarcasm instead of anger. That more than likely didn't provide the best outcome. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark challenges you to give a gentle answer when someone questions you aggressively. You have to be sure you aren't lying or just saying something the other person wants to hear. You must genuinely believe what you're saying, or it will not work and make things worse. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Judges chapter 8, and let's pray for God to bless it. So, Lord, again, your word is all we need. And everything, God, that we need is in your word. And simply by reading your word and looking at your word, you speak to each one of us in this room individually into where our lives are. And that's the amazing thing about your word, God, is it hits every area of our life that we need as we simply work through it, line by line, verse by verse, and allow your Holy Spirit to bring it to life. And I pray now that your Holy Spirit would bring your word to life and you would feed your people. Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to say to us tonight. So, Lord, open up your word to us and feed your flock and draw us near, Lord, and draw near to us. We want to experience you, not just hear your word. We want to, Lord, draw close to you and be intimate with our God tonight. So, Lord, bless us and be blessed as we seek you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're in the middle of a story. Remember Gideon. He has been called of God. God sent him into battle. He's fighting the Midianites, 135,000 of them. They take the torches and the pots and put them over the clay pots, you know, and they bring the trumpets. They break the clay pots at night, spread out, blow the trumpets. They see the torches. The Midianites think they're surrounded by this gigantic army, but it's really 135,000 to 300. But again, remember, one with God is a multitude. One with God's a majority. And so they start killing each other. God moves in a great way and the enemy starts defeating themselves. Then they begin to take off running as they've defeated themselves and wiping themselves out with Gideon and his army chasing them, wiping out those they come upon in the midst of that. And that's where we take up now is this army is fleeing away. This 135,000, which has now dropped quite dramatically, is now fleeing away from Gideon and his 300. And we take up in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, the men of Ephraim said to him, why have you done this by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? Now remember, we ended here in chapter 7, the last couple of verses there. Really look at verse 25, that's enough. As Gideon and his army were chasing these men, it says they got the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they killed at the winepress of Zeeb. Again, they were either almost home or they named it after them because that's where they met their demise. And they pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Now, as this battle was going on, he was sending word to the Ephraimites and the others down the line somehow, sending messengers saying, come out and catch these guys. Try to get to them. Well, the Midianites now are upset because they weren't included in this. And notice what it says. They said to him, why have you done this and not called us when you went to fight the Midianites? There's some pride and some arrogance going on here. And by the way, the Ephraimites, in this portion of their history, they were a problem. They were prideful. They were arrogant. They wanted the glory. And, you know, we're going to see that Gideon handles them masterfully. I'm going to show you. There's a great lesson in the way that Gideon handles them, which I would encourage all of us to do if we ever run into a bunch of Ephraimites, so to speak. That is, people that are troublemakers and have jealousy or politics, or they want to fight, or whatever the case might be. But again, these same guys later on are going to run into another guy who's not going to be so gracious with them, and he's going to deal with them, fight fire with fire, as they say. It's a good thing they ran into Gideon, because Gideon's going to show them mercy, and he's going to show humility, which we know Gideon was a humble man. Remember his estimation of himself. My father's the least in all the tribes of Israel. I'm the least in my father's family. And so he had a low estimation of himself, which is always a plus. Always a plus. I'm not talking about self-deprecation or you know, I'm no good. I can't do anything. Not that kind of thing, but just realizing, you know what? I'm just Mark. God is God. And you put your name in there. You're just, and there's your name. God is God. And so he's the one that we look to, and he's the one that has the power and makes things happen. This was the kind of man Gideon was. And so they reprimanded Gideon sharply. Notice that. Again, just their arrogance, their pride. They wanted the glory of the battle. And so he said to them, "What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer?" Now remember, it was the Ephraimites who had come out and killed Oreb and Zeeb. They captured them there as they were running and fleeing and all. And so we found that in chapter 7. And so what is happening is they're saying, look, you shouldn't have waited until Oreb and Zeeb were running and we had to catch them down here and kill them. We wanted to be up there in the battle there when the Midianites were in the valley and you were there, you know, the whole section up north or whatever. And so now notice what Gideon does. And I love this. He says, look, who am I compared to you? This is basically what he's saying. You put it in modern day language, you guys are the ones that are really, you know, the ones that are, you know, great. I'm just a nobody. He says, are the gleanings of the grape, that is the leftovers of the grapes of Ephraim, are better than the vintage. My whole crop, everything that would come in my region, in Abiezer, my family in my region, if I had the best crop come in, what's left over? Your leftovers are better than my best. Now that wasn't true. And Gideon wasn't lying. I don't think Gideon, he wasn't here, I'm going to tell these guys a lie. Gideon was humble. Gideon didn't realize that God had raised him up and made him a great warrior and fighter. He was just obeying the Lord. But his estimation of himself was, look, my leftovers are nothing compared to what, I mean, my best is nothing compared to your leftovers. Well, what is he doing? What does the Bible say? A gentle answer turns away wrath. And so he's giving a gentle answer. I encourage you guys, if you find yourself and somebody's mad at you and they're upset, and give a gentle answer. Now, we have to be in a place in our heart where we can do that, or it's not going to work. And you've probably been in situations where somebody's gotten upset, and you've seen both of those two things at work. One time, you've given a gentle answer, and you've seen things calm down, right? You just humbly deal with it. You're gracious. Let it die down. And then you've had those times when you're real riled up and you're upset. We've all done it, right? And you the fire with fire thing, and then what happens? It gets better, doesn't it, from that point on? Doesn't it get better from that point on? It explodes from that point on. Why? Because people respond in emotions. If they're already upset, then you get upset and both get upset together. It just explodes. But if somebody's upset and you are humble and just, you know what? Hey, I'm sorry. What can I do to make this right? Then it's going to soothe it down. That doesn't mean the person's immediately going to calm down, but it calms down the situation. The Bible says, turn off the water spout. You know, turn it off when it's a drip. You know, so if the drip is giving you a hard time, the last thing you want to do is open up the faucet and let it become this torrent that now you're fighting. No, just, you know, deal with it gently and humbly. Gideon does it. He goes, look, you guys, hey, you're all upset, you're mad. I'm nothing compared to you. You guys, you got Oreb and Zeeb. I mean, you guys, you're it. I'm just here just trying to clean up, you know, after you guys have wiped them out. Way to go, guys. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, all right then. Well, then now we're not so mad because you recognize that we're awesome. We recognize that we're awesome and everybody's happy, right? When really Gideon was the one. Gideon was the one who God raised up. Gideon was the one who had the power and God gave him all this. But, you know, again, a gracious man, humility, a great lesson here in this, in leadership and really just in life. And I encourage you, even if it doesn't come natural, you know, this comes natural for some of you guys. And I think a lot of times it depends on the kind of family you were raised in. Obviously, it depends on your personality. It depends on oftentimes what child in order you were in the household. And I'm not getting into all those child order things. I'm simply saying that there are certain things that are kind of forced upon your life depending on how you grew up and where. So it's very natural. But for some of you guys, it's not natural. A lot of you firstborns, you're going to have to choose to be humble and give a gentle answer because you're the leader. And you're strong, and you make the decisions. You tell all the other ones what to do. Well, there may be a time where God says, no, now you've got to be the one that's humble and allow someone else to lead, and you've got to give a gentle answer. So I think it's good for us to understand what our personality is like, so when we face these kind of situations, we can make a choice to deal with them the right way. For somebody who's more timid, you've got to choose to be bold. For somebody who's naturally bold, you've got to choose to be more reserved. You see how that works? So understanding who you are and where you are. I appreciate understanding my weaknesses. A lot of people, that hurts their pride. Don't let your weaknesses hurt your pride, okay? I know I can play guitar. I know I'm not a lead guitarist. And so if I try to get up here and go, well, you know what? That guy can play lead guitar. I'm going to. Then you're all going to hate it. We're all going to die together, all right? So it's good for me to realize, don't do that. You're not any good at it, Mark. So I'm glad to know that weakness. So whatever your strengths are, focus in on those, hone them. Notice your weaknesses. Don't be jealous because other people may be strong in your area of weakness and you wish you could do what they did in that area. Just realize, I'm not strong in that area. I'm not saying you don't apply yourself and try to get better in areas. The point is that I think understanding your weaknesses is a strength, and it's going to make you more effective in life as a person, as a communicator, as someone serving the Lord. Gideon got it. You know, Gideon, he didn't have to be the man. He didn't have to be the one getting all the attention. You know, Gideon was the kind of guy that said, look, this is God anyway. It doesn't matter who gets the glory. I forget who it was. The quote comes to my mind right now, but I can't remember who it was. But it would be a name you would recognize. A very famous pastor, he said one time, you know, it might have been a president. I don't remember exactly. But the quote was something like this. Anybody who's willing to not have to have the glory, they're going to be somebody who's very productive. You're going to get a lot more done if you don't care about who gets the glory. But if it matters to you who gets the attention, then you're going to have a harder time because you have to somehow prove you're the one. Hey, I said that. I made that up. Hey, that was my thing. Hey, I want. And that's where I have some issues with a lot of these, you know, I don't know. I guess I get into some of the Christian worship stuff. If it's Christian artists and they're writing their own songs, I understand that. But coming from a music background and realizing that worship really belongs to God and is His, you know, I don't know. I have some issues with some of the copyright things on worship songs and all that. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm wrong and God will show me when I get to heaven. Mark, you were wrong. That's fine. I'll accept that. But I feel like if there's a great worship song, that it came from God. And so for somebody to claim it as their own, you know, let's get past verse 2. Verse 3, God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. And Gideon came to the Jordan, and the 300 men who were with him crossed over exhausted, but still in pursuit. You know, it's kind of funny. You guys really are the heroes here, but 300 of us were chasing 120-some thousand people. But you guys are really the heroes anyway. Then they said to the men of Succoth, please give us loaves of bread for the people who, actually, they were chasing 15,000 by now. We'll see that in just a moment. But he said, give us loaves of bread for the people who follow me, for they're exhausted, and I'm pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. So Gideon was like, he was a go-getter. He's like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go till I get these guys. And now it's down to 15,000, okay? So all the rest of them, over 100,000, have already been wiped out, either killing themselves or by Gideon's army or by the Ephraimites, you know, that came down to help them in the battle. But there's still 300 chasing 15,000. Imagine if those 15,000 figured it out. I mean, just stop and look back and go, hey, guys, wait a minute. What's up? There's like 300 of them. Let's go. You know, but they didn't, because God put a fear in their heart and they had them running. But now they come to their brothers. They come to their brothers who are not in the battle and they're not a part of the battle. They're in Succoth, Jews. And they say, look, we're chasing the enemy. God's called us to do this. We need some food. Help us. You would think they would say, absolutely. What can we do? Here's everything we can. But we're going to see they were afraid of the Midianites because all they saw were 300 men with Gideon. And then they see 15,000 Midianites. Well, the Midianites have been terrorizing them for a long, long time. And so they're thinking, you know what? We're going to be defeated. We can't defeat the Midianites. There's too many of them. There's not enough of you. We can't side with you because if we do, the Midianites will come back and kill us. So we're not going to help you. Guys, we need to be careful with that. Never find yourself in a place where when you see God moving and God doing a work that you're worried about the enemy and you're one of those, well, God can't do this. It's too big of a thing. We've got to leave it in. You know, we'll never be able to do this. If God's raised up the leadership, if God is moving that direction and God is working in something, we need to get alongside and be a part of it and be a part of the battle. And they make a big mistake here. It's going to come back to haunt them. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hands? In other words, have you conquered them yet? I don't think so. There's still 15,000 of them, and you hadn't even caught them. And when you get up to them, how are 300 going to defeat 15,000? Why should, you know, that we should give bread to your army? So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord, I love that, when the Lord has delivered Zebah and Zalmunna, not if. The confidence of the Holy Spirit now upon Gideon, the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. He knew it was God. He knew God had called him. He had the power. When the Lord has delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with the briars. Now, Gideon was a humble man, but he could be tough. And there's a good combo here in Gideon's leadership. He was a humble man. He knew his position before God. He was gracious to other people. But when it came to someone fighting against the things of God, he could be really firm. You're fighting against God. And you know what? God's going to spank you really good. And when we come back, we're gonna you know, whip you basically with briars and thorns. We're going to teach you a lesson because you didn't help. Here we are hungry. Here we are thirsty. We're doing the work of God. We're chasing the enemy. And you're more afraid of the enemy than you are of God. And you won't help us. So you're going to suffer for that. Then he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel, some more Jews, and the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Sukkoth had answered him. And they said, we're not going to help you. You hadn't caught him yet, in other words. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. So they apparently had a tower there in their city. Know that they were proud of their tower, probably some type of stronghold to hide from the enemy. He said, I'm going to come back. The guys in Sukkoth didn't help me. You guys in Penuel aren't helping me. And I'm going to come back after defeating these guys, and you're going to pay for this. Because you're making God's people suffer here when you could have been helping. You could have been a part of this. You're fighting with the enemy. You're fighting against God. We're going to deal with you. And Zebah and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000. So again, that's how many's left after the start of 135,000. All who were left of the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Again, remember, this started with 300 guys. Isn't this great? And Gideon went up by the road to those who dwell in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha and attacked the army while the camp felt secure. So he goes in, surprises them, attacks. When Zebah and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zebah and Zalmunna, and routed the entire army. So he kills the other 15,000, kills their leaders, and the other 15,000. Again, this is obviously God supernaturally helping them, because 300 couldn't kill that many. By the way, it's interesting to note, they're fighting all these battles. Midianites started out with 135,000. They have 300. Now the Midianites are down to 15,000, and the Midianites are now going to all be wiped out. How many of the Gideonites are left? How many of Gideon? 300. Didn't lose one. This is when God's working. God always gets the victory, and he does it in grand style. So Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle from the ascent of Heres. And he caught a young man of the men of Sukkoth. So he gets back to the city of Sukkoth. Remember, these are the guys that wouldn't help him, Jews that wouldn't, you know, give them food. And he catches a young man outside the city, and he interrogated him, and he wrote down for him the leaders of Sukkoth and its elders, 77 men. I love this about Gideon, because he could have said, we're gonna punish the entire city. But Gideon understood, you know what, these men, these the kids, the women, these others, that they didn't do this. It's the leaders that are responsible. I'm going to hold them accountable, and they're going to be the ones that pay the consequence. And he came to the men of Sukkoth and said, here are Zebah and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give you bread or give bread to your worry men? Hey, you know the guys that we were chasing that you said we couldn't conquer? Here they are. And we've come back. By now, they're starting to sweat because they're realizing, wow, you defeated 15,000 and we don't have any way to stop you. If you're that powerful, if God's with you that much, if your army's that strong, and now you said you're going to like really, you know, work us over here, we're in big trouble. So it's starting to sink in what they've done. And they took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Sukkoth. Now, we don't know how he did it, but we know they got a good, you know, as they say in the South, a good whooping. And, you know, when I was a kid, only happened one time that I remember, but you never forget this kind of thing. I was at my granny's house, and she had one of those things where she was going to spank me, and I had to go out and get my own switch. You ever been there? I don't know. Either way, I go out, you pick, and you're thinking, if you get something too little, then she's going to go get the one she wants. That's not good. And if you get something too big, you're going to oversuffer. So you're like going, and you're like trying to decide which one to get, you know, and you get, okay, this one looks less painful. You know, you take it in and you get whipped with it. And, you know, but the good thing is that it didn't have thorns on it. That's good. But these guys, they got not only got switched, so to speak, but it had thorns. And these 77 men, they wore them out. So this would have been a very, very miserable time for those guys, but they deserved it. They deserved it. They were allowing the men of God to die in battle. So I don't feel sorry for them at all. And so Gideon takes care of that. Well, I just got another town to go to, because remember, there was more than one town that Penuel's next. They didn't help him either. Then he tore down the tower at Penuel and killed the men of that city. Now, he just whipped the other guys. He killed these guys. Why? The Bible doesn't tell us, but according to Jewish writers and how they know this, or whether or not it was passed down orally through history or written history or whatever, but the Jewish writings say that as they started to tear down the tower of Penuel, the men of Penuel started fighting Gideon's men. It's like, you're not going to tear our tower down, okay? We were just going to tear your tower down. Now we're going to tear you down. So they killed the men of Penuel for fighting them, and they were foolish. They lost their lives when they could have just had their tower torn down. But again, Gideon was a man anointed of God. He was a man with the power of God, and he was a man of his word. And God was using him to bring chastisement to these that were not helping him in the battle and actually, you know, helping the enemy. And then he said to Zeba and Zalmunna. Sounds like brothers, kind of. I don't know if it was or not, but ZZ brothers. What kind of men are you? What kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? Now, we don't know anything about this. The Bible doesn't tell about the men they killed at Tabor. So I don't know who that was. We're going to find out. It was Gideon's family. But it doesn't tell the story of why they killed them. Maybe they caught them out in the field and senselessly slaughtered them. You know, remember, they would always attack them when they were working the fields and all this. So we don't know what it was, but it was unjust. Whatever happened, it was unjust. And Gideon now is going to take out vengeance for his family. So they answered and said, well, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king. And so obviously he was a strong-looking man, and his brothers and his family were too. He said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. And he said to Jether, his firstborn. That's interesting. Again, you would look to your firstborn to be the strongest, but Jether's young. We don't know how old he is, but we're going to see here that he's young. And he gives Jether an opportunity here to be used by the Lord. And we think, wow, killing someone's abused by the Lord. But again, this was a battle for the Lord. He says, rise and kill them. But the youth would not draw his sword. Notice the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. Again, probably pretty young if he's afraid to do this, but old enough to enter into battle and to fight. He just didn't have, at that point, he wasn't man enough to carry out, you know, the execution of these leaders. So what, even though it was God, and even though he knew it, trusted his dad, and the battle had taken place and all this. And I think it's neat here how Gideon allowed his son to be a part of this. Gideon could have just done it, not said anything to his son. I think that Gideon was giving a chance for his son to have a name, to become a name of renown, to be a leader, to be a warrior. See, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this. I know you're young. I know you feel young. I know you feel inexperienced. But trust your dad. Go do this. I can't do it. And he wasn't able to. Why do I emphasize this? Because there's a spiritual application for us in here, especially you guys that are younger. Teenagers, young 20s, God may call you to do something really bold.
You've just heard Pastor Mark teaching from the book of Judges here on Come to the Table. One of the most remarkable stories from Judges is the story of Gideon. With just 300 men, Gideon and the Israelites defeated an army of 135,000 Midianites. But it wasn't because Gideon was a military genius or because the Israelites had some new advanced weapon. It's because Gideon trusted and obeyed God. God fought for the Israelites and completely defeated the Midianites. To God, it doesn't matter if you have 10 men or 1,000 men on your side. And it doesn't matter who or how many are against you. If God is for you, then no one can stand against you. Don't trust in your own power and wisdom. Trust in God, because the battle belongs to the Lord. If today's message had an impact on you, would you let us know by using our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net? This is a good way for us to gauge how we can better serve you, our listeners. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about. Come to the Table is a ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Well, that's all the time we have for you today, but we want to say thank you for listening. Pastor Mark has more in Judges, so join us again on the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.